How you doing, Bill?
Hey, okay, Glenn. Steve, Michael.
Bill.
All right, let's get to this one. Yesterday, defense played quite well for a good portion of this ball game. Certainly, you had to be happy with what they did for most of the game. Offense, not quite as much. Is it a matter now of trying to get it all to gel at the same time?
Well, that's always the goal, try to get everything to come together, sure.
Do you have the talent defensively to play as well as you did in the first half and maintain it over the course of the game? It seemed like they were firing very well for two and a half, almost three quarters, and then two long drives to end the game. Was there anything directly that you could attribute that to directly?
No, I thought we had our chances all the way through the game on offense and defense, and you know, we've got to make more out of those opportunities and do a better job coaching and putting ourselves in those opportunities, give ourselves more chances.
You know, Bill, I want to talk to you about situational football. You talk about it a lot. Your players talk about it a lot. Just wondering, in that final sequence for the Giants where they got the touchdown, 19 seconds left, their timeout situation, I don't have any timeouts. Do you tell your coaches and players, think pass here, or do you have to look out for the unlikely run? I mean, it's a possibility, it's unlikely. How do you handle that situation?
Well, we were definitely thinking pass, and but of course you got to respect the run balls inside the 1 yard line. So we just didn't execute it very well. We just didn't get to the coverage quick enough, and they made the play, made a good throw, made a run, a good route, and made the play.
And there was another situation where Sergio Brown, he said after the game he didn't think they would call the pass interference. Did he just stumble into the? Based on what you saw, did he just stumble into the defender? Did he lose his place on the field? How did you see that play unfolding?
Well, there was contact, and the officials made the call. So you know, you'd have to ask them what they saw. I think what we need to do is just as far as coaching it, we always try to coach the players to, you know, work into a position with the receiver. But you know, we got to be careful about contacting them down the field. So certainly we don't want to contact them intentionally. Sometimes there's incidental contact, but that's in the official's eyes. We can't control that.
And are they clear on, as far as you're concerned, are you clear on what they will call incidental contact? Is there a clear line between incidental contact and definitely 99 times out of 100, this will be called pass interference from a coaching perspective?
Well, if the player's going for the ball and he's not attempting to hit the opponent, then that's, you know, that's not really interpreted as a foul. But if there's contact and the official feels that the defender's not truly playing the ball, then that's an issue.
Albert Haynesworth played quite a bit early in the game, seemed to be maybe victimized by that Brandon Jacobs a touchdown run, but didn't seem to play after that, if I'm correct. I don't believe he played on the field after that. Was he hurt, or was that a coach's decision?
Of course it was a coach's decision, but we were rotating really five people at those two positions, so we had depth at that position. Other guys played. Albert, I mean, they all played in the game.
Were there issues between Pepper Johnson and Albert Haynesworth on the sideline during the game?
We discussed the plays, sure.
Does it get loud sometimes when you're discussing the plays? Does that, I mean, just, we've seen, you know, video, not necessarily of this case, but in many cases in the past where you see video of this stuff. Is that just a normal thing that happens during the course of the football game? You're nodding your head, D'Ossie.
I've been yelled at enough.
I was going to say.
I've been yelled at enough to know.
I mean, should anybody think of that, Bill, as being something out of the ordinary, or does that happen a lot in the sidelines in a football game?
Well, I think plays get discussed after every series, sure. And so there's definitely exchange of players and coaches about what happened on plays and, you know, what to do and what they saw and sometimes what the coach saw and all that. So I don't think that's anything that's – I mean, you'll get that after every series.
Now, he wasn't in there in the fourth quarter. Were you dissatisfied with the way he was playing up to that point?
Well, so we had a number of players at that position. We had five defensive tackles up for the game. So, you know, we played the ones, and then, you know, guys had different roles in the game. So got into that last drive, and, you know, we were one of the best guys.
Bill, why don't you think that Ocho Cinco and Tom Brady have been able to get on the same wavelength here. I mean, it's surprising that he's got 9 catches now through 8 weeks. Everybody says he's working at it. You've said numerous times when asked that he knows the plays, understands the routes, knows what he's supposed to do. Why isn't that connection coming together?
Well, I don't know. We just got to keep working harder at it, and with everybody, with the quarterback and all the receivers, just got to keep working hard to try to make that happen.
Ocho Cinco was targeted 5 times yesterday. Was that something you saw in the Giants' defense? It seems like more than he'd been targeted in the previous games.
When you call the play, you don't really know what defense the opponent's going to be in. So, you know, we call the play. Tom takes his reads and goes to where he thinks he should be throwing the ball. So,
how was your offensive line play yesterday? I know it's just a couple of sacks, but was Tom getting harassed more than usual in the pocket?
I thought overall we were definitely competitive against a real good pass rush, but. As usual, some plays are better than others, and certainly wasn't perfect out there. But I thought we competed well against that group.
You know, Julian Edelman was in the news earlier last week. Is your conversation with him over in terms of the incident at the nightclub? Are you approaching it as if, okay, we've talked about this now, and we're going to wait for the legal process to play out? Or where does that stand in terms of how you approach Edelman?
Well, I think that all the conversations between myself and any player that are private will remain between myself and the player. I think that's the way we would normally handle it. So we'll handle it in this case.
No, I'm not asking you to give me insight into your conversation, but just in terms of, is it in the hands of the legal process? Is that how you're viewing it, that he has – whatever is going on with him is in the hands of the courts now in the hands of the authorities?
Well, whatever's in the hands of any authority is in the hands of that authority. That's out of my control. My conversations and with any player and what their situation is on the team and whatever needs to be discussed relative to that individual and the team, I do that on a regular basis with the players, and whatever those conversations are between myself and that player.
Let me ask you a question about his play, and particularly the fumble on the punt return. How is it taught that when you raise your hand for the fair catch, as opposed to when you believe that you can make that catch and actually make some positive yards? Is it a fine line, Bill?
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah.
But it's a straight judgment call at all times then, right?
It's judgment, but there's some rules that are stronger than others. I mean, it's not every situation is the same. Depends on what the call is that you have on. Sure, you've talked about it with your punt return team and your punt returner, the specific situation of that game, their team, their coverage, their punter, so forth and so on. Game conditions certainly come into play. Score, time, situation, so forth. So there are general rules and there are specific things. But, ultimately it's no different than a quarterback deciding whether to throw the ball to a receiver, whether he can get it in there, whether the punt returner can make the catch cleanly and return it for positive yardage, again, relative to all the factors that go into the situation. So each one's different, but, of course, it's his final decision or judgment to make his decision.
Gronkowski and Welker were targeted, I think, about half of Brady's attempts. Is that a factor of those guys being open, or is it a factor of Tom just feeling most comfortable with those two receivers?
Well, they're two of our best players. They're two outstanding playmakers, so I'm sure that Tom doesn't mind throwing them the ball, all other things being equal.
You've been putting up for some time, 13 games, I believe, in a row, 30-plus points. Last 3 games, you've had trouble getting 20. Is that a factor of the teams that you've played, the defenses, or lack of execution on your own part?
Well, again, the main thing is to get more points than the opponents. So you know, you play the game to win it and do what you need to do to win. You know, not to hit a certain scoring point, but of course, the more points, the better, no question. And it's hard to score a lot of points when you're not scoring in the first half. But neither did they, so that was, you know, that was a draw. But yeah, of course, every time we go out on the field offensively, we go out there to score. That's our objective.
Bill, another
change.
Sorry, another situational question for you, and that is, when you're trailing late in the game, you're trailing. So at one point, you're just thinking you're trying to score, but do you also start thinking of when to milk some of this clock, when to melt it down a little bit so we don't leave them too much time? Did you have that thought at all, or is the thought, we got to score because we're trailing in this game? I'm talking about on your final score.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on the situation. But in that situation, yeah, we're just trying to score. I mean, it's 4th and 10. I don't think you're thinking about doing anything other than trying to convert the first down or score. I mean, what else is there to think about?
4th and 8. I'm just thinking before you got
or whatever it was. Yeah.
Before you got to that point, as you're driving, are you thinking we got to do everything we can just to get it in here? Or,
well, of course. I mean, that's the number one thing. I mean, without the score, then you lose the game. So you got to score. If you have an opportunity to control the time at the end of the game, if you have that opportunity, then sure, you would consider that. But your first objective has got to be, you know, to get the points.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Just like in those situations where people say, well, why did they score so early? They left the Giants too much time. I think if you're trailing, you know, the first thing you think of is we got to score.
Of course.
Especially when you're struggling to score points in the first place.
And if you're in that situation, yeah. if you can mix in some runs, if you have the luxury of doing it, you try to do it. But it's kind of tough. You hear that all the time, that criticism.
Your special teams have had some issues over the last couple of weeks. Is there anything directly causing that, or is it just happenstance that it's that the special teams is, I'd say, underperformed last 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, we're, you know, looking for more plays out of every phase of our game, offense, defense, special teams. You know, that's what we're going out there for, is to make plays. I don't think there's really been a lot of issues with the coverage team, you know, other than the Jets game. But, you know, hopefully we can, you know, make more of our kick return opportunities. Of course, we didn't have too many of those in the Pittsburgh game, punts anyway. But, yeah, we want to take more advantage, make more of our return opportunities. And, of course, every time we send the field goal team out there, it's to score points. So, you know, you always want to be 100% on that too. So, I mean, there's certainly areas that we can improve in every phase of the game, and I wouldn't leave special teams out.
Yeah, but I was going to say field position for the offense was not great yesterday. And, of course, of that game, you started deep in your own territory numerous times. So.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the defense, because looking at it, especially in third down situation, it was very, very good yesterday. I think 4-14 or something like that, Bill. You come out of a game like that, obviously you make great strides. We had Vince in here earlier, and Vince, you know, was saying we made great strides, but still down the stretch didn't do what you wanted to do. How do you convince them that there were a lot of good things that were done in that course of that game?
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to convince anybody anything. I think we objectively look at the film and go through the corrections and talk about what we did and how we can do it better. And things that we did well reinforce how those were done, and this is how we want to do them. So it's not about trying to convince anybody anything. It's trying to be constructive and get better and improve on what we're doing.
Your defensive backs seem to be in position quite a bit, but don't seem to be finishing the plays as well as they have in the past. Is that something that's translating on film? Are you seeing that too, or is that just something?
That's something that we work on all the time, and that's a critical part of the play for a defensive back. You know, those guys have the longest plays really on the field, you know, from the time the ball snapped until for them, the play finishes is longer than it is for anybody else. So their ability to play good technique, good leverage all the way through the down, and then at the very end of that particular play to finish it, as you say, play the ball, make the tackle, knock it down, whatever the case is, that's, you know, that's critical for them and something that we strive and work hard on all the time. There are a number of different positions that a defensive back can be in relative to the ball and the receiver and location and different types of routes and so forth. So it's, you know, it's something you can always work on and get better at, and it's an important part of his job, sure.
So that's coachable, but is it also part instinct, too, for because things happen at an incredible speed in those plays. Is it part coaching, part instinct?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that happen on the football field that you can't, even if you coach them all, it would take you quite a bit of time to cover it. Some things you coach and you change your drills every week to just try to keep it moving, to keep it fresh, to cover new situations, and then by the time you get back over the ones you started with, that could be several weeks down the road just because of the volume of things you need to, you don't need to talk about or work on, and give the players practice at. So, that's a big challenge for the defensive backs because there's only, as you know, in practice, there's only really so many plays that a defensive back really gets his hands on the ball. Maybe it's one a practice, maybe it's two a practice, I don't know, whatever it is. It's not, they're not receivers where they're getting the ball thrown to them on every play. They get their hands on, the balls they're close to, but then game comes up and you get your hands, if the defensive back gets his hands on a ball, it's probably a little bit different one or a different location, or it's a little bit of a different circumstance than what it was in practice. So you're always working on those things, absolutely, and that's a key part of a defensive back's job.
All right, quick break, then we'll take a peek at the next opponent up on the schedule, Sunday night game down in Jersey against the Jets. All right, back here on Patriots Monday, it's the Big Show. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Jets next up on the docket on Sunday, and I take it you're looking an awful lot at the offense right now, Bill, because this defense has really taken it to the next level. You've seen enough of them in the past. What obstacles to this Jets defense cause you?
Well, they've got a lot of good players, and they do some different things on defense, scheme-wise, that you have to be ready for in terms of their coverage, fronts, blitz package, those kind of things. So, good starts with good players, and they have a good scheme. So that'll be a challenge for us, as it always is.
How about their offense? I mean, you've seen some good games here from Sean Green. He's running a lot better than he was earlier in the season. And then you have Burris and Holmes and Keller. How do you approach an offense like that? Because I don't think they get credit for being diverse, but I think they're a pretty diverse offense.
I think they have good skill players, and they, they've gotten production from all those guys, tight ends, backs, receivers, quarterback. So, there's a lot of things we got to be ready for, and so you just can't go and play the Jets and just say, well, we're just going to stop this one guy. They have numerous weapons, and they'll challenge you across the board.
Is there any substantial difference between their philosophy of defense and, say, Pittsburgh's? Is it all about the pressure, or will they change it up?
I'd say it's quite a bit different than Pittsburgh. Yep. Pittsburgh's. They kind of have their system. They do what they do. They definitely mix it up on you. I think the Jets are more specific game to game. Certain things they want to try to take away from certain teams, other teams, whereas Pittsburgh, I'd say, generally is more of, they run what they run, and they kind of make you defend all the things that they do, as opposed to Pittsburgh saying, well, we're just going to take away this one guy, or that we're just going to do this one thing. I wouldn't say that's really their style.
Does that make it harder to coach against a team that has?
I mean, they're both good. They just have a little bit different philosophies and just do things a little bit differently. But no, they're both good. Both present great challenges to us.
Do you ever see trends where certain teams see something in you, and every week you're seeing the same type of defense? They're being more physical with the receivers or whatever. And if that's the case, do you have to suddenly? Is it like a chess match? Do you have to adjust and change up what you're doing?
I think that you, over the course of the year, you pretty much know what you're going to see going into the season, and over the course of the year, you probably see it somewhere along the line from everybody, or from somebody anyway. I don't think we've seen anything that we haven't ever seen before. Man coverage, zone coverage, blitz, overs, unders, 3-4s, 4-3s, bear defense. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything that you know, that we haven't faced. So those challenges are there from week to week. And sure, if somebody's having success doing something against you, then chances are you're going to see more of it. Or if you have a lot of success against a particular thing, you're probably going to see a lot less of that, you know, from teams that don't want to put themselves in that same situation. So, I mean, it's pretty common.
They've had some changes on their defensive line with, you know, bringing in the first-round pick, Wilkerson, Ellis being here, the retirement of Jenkins. Are they doing the same thing up front, or with the changes, have you seen some changes in how they approach certain plays?
I think they're teaching it the same. I think they teach their system the same, regardless of who the players are, right? I mean, I don't see them like they played this defense with Jenkins. Well, he was hurt a lot last year, but, you know, they played this defense with Jenkins, but now, you know, or they play this defense with Ellis and play a different defense with DeVito in there or whatever. I don't really see that, no.
Do you, when preparing for a game, is there more of a chess match than we see on the surface in terms of maybe anticipating what they might do, what they might not have done in the previous 2 or 3 weeks of film that you have? Maybe trying to anticipate what adjustments they might make in facing your offense or defense?
I think that's fair. I mean, they're definitely a team that they might not have shown something for a couple weeks if they haven't seen that situation or they haven't, you know, used that in their game plan, and then they could pop up, you know, anytime, you know, against whatever, you know, a team that does something that they want to defend a certain way, then they could throw it out there. So, yeah, you definitely got to be ready for that against a team like Jets. And just as you mentioned, I think as a comparison, that's, you know, that's not really what you would normally see from a team like Pittsburgh as an example. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but you got to be ready for the Jets to throw something at you that you haven't seen for a while. Absolutely.
Was Kevin Faulk, was he a healthy scratch on in Sunday?
He wasn't 100%, no.
Okay. And I know you don't like to reveal an awful lot about injuries, but in the way that you're using the backs, guys that are playing, guys that aren't playing, could some of it be that some guys are nicked up or whatever, or is it more the skill set that they bring is the reason you're playing them a little bit more because they match up with what you want to do in that game plan on that given Sunday?
Well, I think it's a combination of both things. Sometimes you have guys that are at a little less than 100%, or sometimes they're not active. And sometimes you have certain matchups from week to week that, for whatever reason, the way that your offense's formations are set up or the way you anticipate a certain defense plan, that, you know, one group may be a little more favorable over another. So it commits a combination of both.
I ask you one more Jets question. I wanted to ask about Sanchez, still a young quarterback, capable of some plays that make you scratch your head, but has done really well in big games and has done well in the postseason throughout his career. What are some of the challenges of facing him now, and what improvements have you seen in his game compared to his rookie year?
Well, I think, you know, he's obviously a talented player. He's got good athletic ability. He can move in the pocket. He's got a strong arm. He's got a lot of confidence. You know, of course, with more experience, he's seen some things and recognizes them quicker or doesn't, because it doesn't get fooled by him, you know, doesn't, you know, makes the right decision. So, and of course, that experience is, you know, has benefited him. But he's a talented guy that, you know, has a lot of different ways he can hurt you, whether it's with his feet, his arm, being able to throw the ball outside, having a touch on it in the shorter red area type plays. So, you know, he does a good job all the way around.
With the Jets coming off a couple of wins, your team coming off a couple of losses, is there a possibility of a, for lack of a better phrase, a confidence gap? Is there a possibility that they're playing with extreme confidence and your team might not have that type of confidence necessary going into a game like that?
I think our team has good confidence. I don't think that's a problem.
Good enough.
All right, division up for grabs in one of these divisional games coming up on Sunday down in New Jersey. Good luck with it, Bill.
All right,
see you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show on Patriots Monday.